This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. We have a special edition today with respect to how small businesses, those with less than 500 employees, like practices, surgery centers, and so forth, can borrow money under the proposed plan from the federal government, the Small Business Administration, to sort of keep their business going through this difficult period of time. Howard Cox is with us. He has spent a ton of time studying this and leading this on behalf of Somerset CPAs. Howard, can you take a moment, introduce yourself, and then talk about sort of this, the caveats on this, what's going on with this, and so forth, on the proposed or possible federal legislation? Howard?
Yes, sure. So thank you for having me as your guest today. And I'm Howard Cox. I'm with Somerset CPAs. We're we have a national practice in a variety of industries, including healthcare being a very specific one that's near and dear to our heart, and surgery centers very specifically within that group. So this is something that is top of mind because we know how devastating this virus has been to this community, as well as obviously to the whole nation. So one of the things we've been watching very closely, and I really like the way you queued it up, because this is proposed legislation. I think it's very thoughtful legislation because it is going to piggyback off of an infrastructure that already exists, which is the Small Business Administration has been making disaster loans for many years. So rather than coming up with a new way to get money into people's hands, they're going to leverage off of the existing SBA disaster loan infrastructure, but they're proposing to augment that so that it is going to be much more broad-based in terms of who it applies to, and much larger amounts can be lent, and et cetera, et cetera. But the key thing is this is proposed legislation. We are summarizing today the Senate bill as it was in progress over the weekend, and it's in a constant state of flux. But we do believe that there is generally, you know, strong bipartisan support for some type of way to augment the existing SBA disaster loan program.
Thank you. And then talk to us about, you had given me some insight before we got on the podcast as to who might be eligible for it. Talk a little bit about what the criteria might be and how much can be borrowed and under what terms.
Absolutely. So that's exactly where we start with the blocking and tackling of, first of all, you know, who qualifies. So there's really just two qualifications. One is an employment-based qualification, and that's how they make sure that you are a small business. So that's the 500 employees or less for the applicant entity. So that's number one, is you have to meet the definition under the proposed legislation of small, which is 500 employees. Then secondly, you have to be substantially, and understand that is a relative term, but substantially affected by COVID-19. Now, for many of our clients, that substantial test is not going to be, even though that's a subjective term, it isn't going to be a hard thing to demonstrate. One of the very specific things that they mention in terms of just general explanation of substantial is shuttered businesses. So many of our clients are shuttered or essentially shuttered, which would be a de facto substantially affected. It can also be supply chain disruptions, staffing challenges, decrease in revenue. So not going to be hard for surgery centers or medical practices who have been limited to only emergency services to qualify under the current proposed language in terms of who. So the who part for this audience is pretty straightforward. Now, you also mentioned how much. That's also kind of critical. Is it going to be even worth messing with, or how does this work? Well, the way that they are calculating the potential loan amount is they're going to look at your prior year average monthly payment for kind of what you might consider your core, you know, kind of fixed overhead, payroll, mortgages, rents, other liabilities like installment loans. So whatever your average monthly cost is for those kind of core categories, multiply that times four, And that is the amount you would qualify for with an overall cap of it can't loan any one individual applicant more than $10 million. So they're certainly putting some real teeth in this. They're proposing to put some real teeth into this in terms of how much money could be lent. The repayment term is 30 years, so it's also very friendly in terms of the loan amortization. Now, the tricky thing for some of the medical practices and surgery centers is going to be that there does, at least under the current legislation, unless it changes as it moves through the Senate and House, is there is going to have to be, like all SBA loans, there is going to have to be a guaranteeing party. Someone is going to have to personally guarantee this, and then there could be cross indemnifications and other things with other owners. So there's a lot of logistics to work out. But this isn't just free money. It is a loan. It's not a grant, and it does have to be personally guaranteed.
Those guarantees are part of how they avoid. That's partly how they avoid so much fraud and so many challenges in it actually getting paid back. Particularly if this goes fast and furious and how it's exercised. Let me ask you another question. Yeah, I'm going to ask you two more questions. How does somebody apply for this? You know, and again, it's not yet out there, but how does one apply and how could the funds be utilized?
Sure, absolutely. So the application process is, it's an online application portal that you can access at disasterloan.sba.gov. /ELA. So it's really, if you just even Google disaster loan, you want to make sure you're going to the SBA.gov website, but it's disasterloan.sba.gov/ELA. And then you register. And then once you register, you can start your application with a unique username and password. And then you can go back to that application as many times, save your work, go out, come back. But it's a pretty straightforward process by which you can apply. Probably one of the trickiest things about the application, which again is relatively straightforward, is that because of the issue we just spoke about in the personal guarantee, you are going to have to upload a personal financial statement of the responsible party. If you have 20% or greater owners, by default, all of them have to supply personal financial statements. If nobody is if nobody owns 20% or more, then the general partner or managing member or some principal is going to have to step up and provide that personal financial statement and be that guarantor party. But other than that, it's a pretty straightforward, you need last year's tax return and a few other things, but it's a pretty straightforward application. We are assisting our clients as necessary. We have clients that are doing it on their own and we're just answering questions. We have some clients that want us to kind of really do the application for them, but it's a pretty straightforward process.
You guys work a ton with, just as an example, orthopedic practices and surgery centers. I just know that from the history of Somerset. Those practices and other practices, aside from this loan issue, are working on restructuring issues right now, trying to figure out how do they keep things alive so they're ready to go when this, you know, when they're back to doing elective surgery and back to business. Not with getting into like tips right now, but you know, we've talked about this potential loan program, and I think even in front of that, practices are thinking about how do they make this go for the next 2 months till cash flow returns again in 3 to 4 months. How do people reach you in Somerset so that they can learn more about how do they think about their practice stuff?
Sure, absolutely. Well, they can certainly reach out to me directly at first initial last name. So it's HCOX, and that's the easy part. And then it's at SomersetCPAs.com, SomersetCPAs.com. You can just go to the Somerset CPAs website, look for leadership. You can find me there. We would love to help.
Thank you so much. So just again, to summarize, the potential disaster relief loan program from the federal government through the disaster program, up to $10 million, less than 500 employees need to show impact from COVID-19, relatively loose, requirements, but you do need some sort of personal guarantee. More importantly, Somerset CPAs, in addition to getting out in front of this issue, does do a tremendous amount of work with orthopedic practices and other practices, and many of those are trying to figure out right now, how do they work through their own, math on keeping their practices open and slow down for the time being so they're ready to go again in 2 to 4 months. And Howard, your team and Somerset CPAs can help with that as well. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Scott, thanks for having me. I appreciate it very much.